Hello, everybody. Manxi, energyperformancecertificates.org. Breaking news podcast. Today is the 28th of July, 2007. And this morning, the chairman of the Institute of Home Inspection, Shane O'Reilly, made an announcement of their intention to go to the High Court and issue a notice of intent. And here to discuss this with me is Shane O'Reilly. Hello, Shane.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. A local lad. This should be fun. Pleasure to speak to you. Shame we couldn't have had you on last week with Linda, but I'd only just learnt of your name the week before, so I didn't know how to make the contacts, etc., and we'd already been set up. But anyway, it's good to have you with us now.
That's okay.
To shed some light on this. It was quite a shock announcement. I dare say it was been planned for some time, but it's suddenly coming out of the blue this morning, really on the 11th hour of the HIPS launch. My first impression, I have to say, was expletive. What is going on here? Are you trying to shove a spanner in the wheels here and mess up the launch of HIPS?
No, certainly not. There won't be any mess up of HIPS. HIPS will start on the 1st of August, and there's no intention to mess up any start of that. Perhaps I should just explain, you know, first of all, that this has been a long and arduous discussion with the IHI Council. And the IHI Council first met on the 7th of July, so it's actually only been in existence as such for 21 days. And this particular issue was debated more than any other at that meeting. The IHI have taken the steps to issue, which is actually a letter of intent to the minister. It's not serving any notice because we feel that the government is still not listening to those who basically are at the coalface of this industry, and that's the ordinary DEA and HI. Who will reform the process, who will lead the reform for the process of home inspection. So that's why we've done it. Regrettable.
Can I just step back before we run away with ourselves? You say a letter of intent. Is that the same as a notice of intent?
A notice of intent to the minister to set out our grievances to the minister, which is to be copied and has been copied to the High Court. Two distinct, sort of slightly different actions in doing that. The reason is that we need to put our case before the minister so the minister can look at that case and can address some of the issues that we raised in that letter. I'm not going to go into the actual detailed points of the letter in this broadcast because it's prudent, obviously, that the minister sees that letter first. They will have only received that letter this morning. Yesterday.
I'm obligated to ask them. Part of the reason you're coming on here, obviously, is to explain to the wider membership that are listening as well. I mean, my obvious question is, and correct me, this is why I'm asking you, shouldn't they know those points?
They will do, but it would only be prudent and right for those points to be put to the minister, and the members of the IHI will be given in detail a copy of that letter on our website later this week. One of the reasons why they haven't got that in front of them today is to give the minister due time to reflect on those issues, and then that information will be put to our members so they have it in full detail, so that obviously that things of this nature, the internet being as it is, discussions aren't taken out of context before the government and the minister can have the correct amount of time to be able to receive that information first.
Well, I respect that. But are you then saying that the members don't know this is happening until this announcement was made? Has this been initiated with their consent?
The members have voted for a council of the IHI to undertake the business of conducting the professional membership wishes. It was fully debated at council, as I said before. It was the most prevalent topic of that debate that afternoon, and took the greatest length of time. And there were quite a number of people, a lively debate that was held at council. And I can say unanimously, council members voted for this action. The council members represent the membership, and the members have voted those councillors correctly to represent them. So it is a correct procedure.
Okay. You've answered that question, and I won't push it any further. So what do you hope to achieve by doing this then, Shane?
Well, I think basically what we're saying, you know, to the government, and it is a very regrettable thing to do at this stage, which seems like the 11th hour. And this measure has been done at the very sort of last resort. But we hope really what it will do is provide the government the impetus to listen to the IHI, who represent the ordinary DEA and HI, who have professional status. In the wider context, the government created this new industry. It wanted people to take up this new opportunity. And very many people have given up much in order to meet the challenge that the government have laid down for them. Many DAs and HIs have taken up education. They've progressed through qualification to accreditation at great personal expense and great family cost. And some people have shelled out £16,000-£17,000 plus. Consumers want HCRs, but that will only now happen in limited and small numbers. DEAs, HIs were promised employment in a full market for the 1st of June. That didn't happen. DEAs and HIs were promised employment in June and July. That has not happened. Four bed EPCs and HCRs commence on Wednesday. But that is not a sustainable market for those presently qualified and accredited. There's not enough work there. In some areas, you know, four beds are only 7% of the total stock. And Knowsley on Merseyside, where you and I live near enough, is a good example. But how many of those properties are up for sale? The market isn't big enough even for those who are qualified. So there's been great financial hardship, and there will be some financial hardship for some time to come for DEAs and HIs. Some DEAs and HIs have not been able to meet their mortgage payments or pay bills. And basically, the IHI is speaking up for its professional membership. And anyone else, actually, who wishes to join us, and several are, and also broadly for the home buying public and community at large. So that's why we're doing it.
But I don't still see the connection between issuing this notice of intent and the end result which you're seeking. How is this going to?
Well, the government announced about 2 weeks ago that it was forming a new stakeholder advisory group. For the last 2 weeks, the IHI have been making applications, formally applications, representations to be on that group. As yet, we don't know the composition of that group, but what we do know, what we do suspect, is that basically it's the same old names. Now, if the government wanted to reform home buying and selling, then what it can't do is look at the same old system. I'm a building surveyor, you know, by profession, and some people say building surveyors have got X-ray vision because they can see through walls and see the problem, but we actually don't do that. What we do is to look at things differently. We analyze the problem, we build a prognosis of the problem, and we solve the problem. So we don't look at it in the same way, and I'm afraid that the governments aren't going to solve the problem that exists and has existed for 40 plus years in the home buying and selling process by doing it the same old way. So if the government want and are intent on improving and reforming the home buying process, it really does have to listen to those people, the DEAs, the HIs, who are at the coalface, who are going to, on a daily basis, be taking these reforms that they want to the consumer or the voter, as the public are, and as the government might like to see them.
So this is your instrument, so to speak. Let's talk crudely here, of crowbarring your way onto the advisory group.
No, it's not just that. I think, you know, first and foremost, the IHI is a professional institution. It's charged because it's a community interest company. We're looking after its professional membership, and it is also charged. We're looking after the public interest. It is a bona fide a professional institution, and as such, we do have to look at both sides of the coin, so to speak. But we will, look to our members' needs and the general public. So it's not a case just of, you know, crowbarring our way on. We actually do already sit on a number of forums within the DCLG, and the great forums for communication and exchange of ideas. But ultimately, we're talking at a much higher level here. We're talking about the strategy. We're talking about the future of the home buying and selling process. Now, the faults of the home buying process, they're not the fault of the RICS. They're not the fault of the Law Society. They're not the fault of the CML. They're not the fault of the National Association of Estate Agents. The fault is the system. And it's the system that has to be changed. And if the system is going to be a new system, then you must have the people who are going to deliver that new system at the table. It's as simple as that. You cannot go back and look to the old factions, the old system, and invite the same people who are largely responsible for the old system. The government want reform. The public want reform. The public have sought reform for many, many years. I've been a practicing building surveyor for 30 years, and house buying, particularly in terms of home condition reports, home buyer survey reports, were a mess 30 years ago. They still are.
Well, I mean, I still see it as basically the IHI, as a means for the IHI to get onto this board, onto this advisory group, and I take your point, and I take it the reasons why you want to get on there. It's about modernising the system, and they need a new, fresh input, so to speak, from people like yourselves.
They do, and not just the IHI. I mean, we're open to speak with any other group. We're open to speak with the RICS. We're open to speak with the CML. We do already have a series of meetings arranged with a number of other groups who have seen in the last month or so what we're about and what we are really doing, and they want to speak with us, and they want to join forces with us so we are a collective force, we are a collective industry, and basically speak with one voice.
But will it be one voice, though, if you're mingling with the big dogs with a relatively, let's face it, relatively small membership voice compared to the other bodies? What you know, you'll just be dragged behind like a piece of string, won't you?
No, we won't. We'll be setting the standard. We'll be setting the standard because there are other people, although they are big names and although they may have big numbers and large bank accounts, don't have the membership that we have, and don't have the membership who've been through the trials and tribulations that we have. You know, from that comes experience. And if you speak to DEAs and HIs out there who can't pay their mortgage this month, you know, speak to them and ask them what they need. What they need is a voice who will give them what they want. If they come to the IHI, what they will get is a professional institution that will represent them, but will set professional standards. And it will seek and demand from government that government listens to it, because government created this industry, and now it must listen to it.
But they might not want you to to work with these same players that have opposed HIPS. That's my point. Well, and being a, well, if you well, join forces with them with a smaller voice than their collective strength, and you know, and in numbers, they will outweigh the interests of the HIPS as they oppose it.
Well, then it would have already been stopped.
Say again, sorry.
It would have already been stopped. If those people who you talk about are so against HIPS, then it wouldn't be happening on Wednesday, and it will happen on Wednesday. So the view that we should, you know, still be looking backwards is probably the wrong view. And it's not the view that the IHI want to take. The view the IHI want to take is the view looking forward. It's the time has come now for everybody to, you know, all the factions to stop arguing and let's work collectively. As I say, the fault of the home buying process wasn't with the RACS or the CML or the Law Society or anybody else as an institution. The fault is the system. And it's the system that everybody wants to change. It's the system the IHI want to make a valuable contribution to change. And they want to do that with the government and with these other parties. So that's the position. It's not a crowbar.
Well, how else are you going to get on the board, Shane? That's surely must, from the outside looking in, must be how it looks. It does look like that to me, to be truthful. Because,
but don't you think it's time that somebody stood up for absolutely. The ordinary DA and HI and were counted, were prepared to do that? The alternative was, I've got to say, you know, it's a regrettable step and it was a measure that's been done as a last resort. But if we don't do it, what's the alternative? The DEA, the HI, are presently being walked all over. If the government is true to its word and wants reform of the home buying process, then it has to take in the new blood. It cannot go back to the old system. It wants to change the old system. You speak to home buyers out there and ask them, do they want to know about the condition of the property before they make an offer? Now, how many are going to say, no, they don't? Not very many. So the voter out there wants this. They've said they want this. They want these improvements. The whole system has been poor for many, many years. And it's basically, frankly, it's time for change. And the government do recognise that, and the government do want to change it. And the IHI actually do support the principles that the governments have laid down for the reform of home improvement. But really, it's now time to listen, not just to the old school. Now, they're experienced, we call them the old school. They're experienced in what they've done, and they've got a valuable contribution to make. But they've got that contribution to make with the IHI included. Because DEAs and HIs need a voice in there. The RACS don't have a faculty for HIs and DEAs. How are they going to speak for HIs and DEAs? The National Association of Estate Agents don't have a faculty for HIs and DEAs. So how do they speak for that party? The Law Society don't. The CML don't. So who is going to represent the ordinary HI and DEA? It has to be the Institute of Home Inspection.
Joining forces with the RICS, let's say, I have to point, you know, they're the easiest party to pick out in this because, you know, just by the pure fact that they're the most public about it. Would this mean, I mean, the RICS's position is they're not against the EPC, are they? But they are against, I believe, the HIP. Am I right?
Well, it depends who you talk to in the RICS. But
well, isn't that their official position?
They put the JR action, and the government considered that JR action, and therefore we have the position we're now in. And I think I can't speak for the RICS, but I think they would probably say that they're working positively for the reform of the home buying process.
So are we saying then, would you not be saying by joining up with them, being seen to join up with them, that you agree with the RICS's proposals?
No, we're not joining with them.
Is there any common ground then that you share with RICS?
Well, we'd need to speak with the RICS because I'm sure there are areas of common ground. But let me make this very clear. The IHI have not set about this measure in terms of supporting the RICS action. We do not support the RICS action. We do actually support, as I say, the principles that the governments are trying to bring about in the home buying process. Now, whether the RICS can work with the IHI will remain to be seen. But the IHI have already got plans which will take, you know, EPCs or DEAs way beyond EPCs and will take home inspectors way beyond HCRs to include new survey models that they can use. So we're already on a progressive strategy to change the way we buy and sell homes, and particularly in the way that we provide home information for those properties.
Okay. So you get on this panel, you get on this advisory group. How long would that take to achieve? And B, will it be in time to change anything anyway?
Well, I mean, you'd have to obviously ask the minister whether she's going to invite us onto this panel. As regards to what we can do, well, of course we can do something because we represent the professional status of home inspectors and DEAs. So yes, we can do something. In terms of how long it will take and what it will look to do, it's looking for the future reforms. HIPs have been around for many years. Most people think they've only been around for 2 or 3 years or 4 or 5 years. HIPs, the idea of HIPs has been around for 10 or 15 years, and it's only the beginning. There are other reforms to come in this entire process. Not all of them will affect the home inspection process. Other parts of the reform will affect mortgages, green mortgages. They'll affect the way that solicitors act. They'll affect e-conveyancing and such like. So there are a wide area of reforms to come. If you don't have one of the players who will represent a great number of people who are delivering those reforms at the coalface, then you're bound then to have a problem.
Okay, well, you know, let me just stop you there because we're talking way ahead now in the future. The question really is, why now then? Why can't we just get over? I mean, looking at it, I thought, after I had my moments of expletives, I thought, right, okay, so what they're trying to do then is speed the things up. They want to put work into DEAs and HIs laps. But what you're saying now is really that you can't really achieve that. You're looking forward to build on the processes that are already ongoing. So the question then comes back to why do it now, right bang in front of the HIP launch?
Well, because a lot of promises have been made by the government and we've still yet to see them come to any fruition, even some of the latest promises. And in particular, as I say, to repeat myself, the stakeholders advisory panel has been announced, and there is some concern, of course, that any of the forums that are about that the departments use, the focus groups, may begin to wind down. The whole approach of the stakeholders advisory group is a strategy group. It's not an information group. It's a group that will set the agenda for future changes. So HIPs is here. HIPs start on Wednesday, and the agenda has already moved on. And so we need to make sure that DEAs and HIs are at that table.
Can you influence the rollout?
Can we influence the rollout? Well, the government have set their ideas and targets for the rollout. From what we understand, they are on target. In terms of speeding that process up, I'm sure the government will say that it has certain things and measures that it must put in place before it can give those assurances for the green light to be pressed. We are expecting an announcement from the department sometime in August, potentially towards the end of August, I must admit, and possibly some announcements for the three-bed EPC to come in. But as yet, we don't have a date for that. And that's critical for a lot of DEAs and HIs out there. They've got to find their mortgages for August and September.
Indeed. Whilst we're just on this topic, let me just take a little sidestep and just ask if you have any further insight into the clause that has suddenly popped back into the conscience of a lot of DEAs, and that is that the rollouts will be phased in, taking account of the lessons learned. That very spurious clause that seems to have gone on under the radar. Do you know any more on that? Can you shed any more light as to exactly where those lessons will be derived?
I'm always cautious of quotes people give me, because you know, it's in the hair from the horse's mouth to see what they've got to say for themselves. I don't know what the term means. But I mean, broadly speaking, you know, in terms of the lessons learned, anybody in business, anybody in a profession who does something, anyone who looks at a building and sees something wrong with it, you know, will learn something and will use that information for the next time they do the next survey. So I'm sure, you know, people shouldn't really be looking always to the negative about these things which are coming through. It's time people put negativity, you know, to one side and looked at the positive things, looked at the future. We've all had a very tough time, an extremely tough time, and there are people out there who are desperate for work, and they don't want to see any more upset.
So
the positive thing.
This is a government. This is not a media-driven statement that's just come out.
I appreciate that, but
government.
I mean, this is. Yeah, I appreciate that, but it's normal political speak, isn't it? For you know, you talk to any civil servants, and they will not tell you, you know, verbatim, you know, what goes on at civil servants meetings. They will be very couched in how they reply to something, and then we get this, you know, situation of anxiety where people are reading too much into single words that are given. The government, quite rightly, will look at whatever the findings are, and people shouldn't look at the negative of that. There might be some positives that come out of that, and we don't know. And that's another reason why the IHI need to be there to give their opinion about some of those results that they find when they start coming through. And we are told that there will be some early reviews, and they're hoping to publish them in the next sort of 2 to 3 weeks. Via the departments of the early pilot projects to see how they went, and there will be lessons to be learned, and there'll be other organisations who will have their input of various different types and different levels, and have their say about that. So that is a learning process which, you know, we all have to accept, but people shouldn't look at them necessarily just jump to the negative conclusion. Although I can fully understand, because of the, you know, the climate we have and the history that we particularly have in this industry, why people are extremely nervous. And they have to go on the websites and the forums to look at people's anxieties and nervousness, and people will drop one, you know, very uncautious word into a blog or into onto a posting, and people jump on it, you know. And it's time for all of that now to stop.
Well, we'll come on to that. But, I mean, I did write a blog post about it going back now on the 28th of last month, I believe. You know, when the government put it down as a criteria for phasing out something, where the previous two criteria were solid set targets which you could measure, i.e. 2,000 DEAs for three bed and over, 3,000 for the full market. Those are solid set targets to trigger. And then you've got this third paragraph which says, taking account of the previous two clauses, lessons learned. That is such a wide open alley. And I did I am guilty of letting it flow. Maybe it is one of those whimsy things that won't rear its ugly head again. Until, of course, Linda gets that email from the government just a few days ago, as though to punctuate it, as a statement as if to say, but don't get too excited yet, we've still got this hurdle to overcome. Without any specific trigger or explanation of evidence that needs to be satisfied, it has to be quite worrying, really, doesn't it, for the army of people who are waiting to earn. It's an open-ended argument. When will that argument be closed? There is no system in place in that paragraph.
Well, I mean, there are sort of two sides to that discussion. One is that the government has set their targets. The IHI believe that those targets are well in progress, and there is no reason to doubt that those targets will not be met. And we have pressed the government, and we did do recently, to make sure that when those numbers, as they've given numbers, are at a particular level, that they press the various green lights. We also press them to perhaps come out before those numbers are actually achieved, to make some statements, positive statements that people then can become to rely on. Now, perhaps the government have learned their lesson that in the past that they can't necessarily make statements all the time and totally themselves be reliant upon them because of obviously history has shown us that that sort of failed miserably a number of times, which is one of the reasons why, again, the IHI are taking this action, is that we have to safeguard the membership, the professional membership of the IHI, and put their case to the government.
I didn't want to drift off too long on that point, but it is a recent topic that seems to be worrying a lot of people. Let's just move on then, back to the statement you've raised. Now, what happens? Can anybody appeal to this notice of intent?
Well, it'll be up to the court. They will receive a copy of the letter that we're sent to the minister. And the purpose, basically, of the letter is so that the interest of the Institute of Home Inspection is noted by the court, so that should the RICS judicial review come back into force before the court, then the court are aware of our interest and must, by precedent, inform and include the Institute of Home Inspection in that process.
And so, let's say Ricks take exception to your presence in this process. Can they appeal?
Well, they can try that. They'll have to do that to the judge, but I'm sure the judge is aware of precedent in law.
Then there's the issue of cost. This must be costing a lot of money.
Well, it's a letter of intent. It's not a writ. We're not taking legal action.
But if you were forced to, would you?
We will put the various points to the membership as and when that arises, if it does arise. We feel, and the IHI feel, and we, as I say, to repeat myself, the council debated this point more than any other at its first inaugural meeting, and it was unanimous. And there were people who, from a starting point, were against it because, on principle, they think it may be wrong to take the government to court because they are the people that we are quite openly and clearly supporting, but we're not taking the government to court. What we're doing is saying to the government, we're setting out our case and we're saying to the government, it's now real time if you want to progress on the future of the home buying and selling process, that you must listen directly to the organisation that legitimately represents DEAs and HIs nationally as a single voice, because you can't listen just to the same names that you've done in the past. They will be included, no doubt about that, but it can't just be, you're not going to change the old system if you just listen to the same old arguments.
So is this really a big deal then?
Well, it's a big deal for the government. It's a huge deal for the consumers out there. The consumers out there want change. The demand change.
No, I mean the statement today. I mean, I don't want you to downplay it. I'm just putting it to you, really. We've got basically a paragraph that sounds really, whoa, this is quite big. It's going to the High Court, and it's called a notice of intent. And there's talks of, and there's the word judicial review in there. And
put it this way. If the RICS go back to court, and as legal proceedings occur from time to time, people might understand that discussions, let's say, are held outside. Well, effectively now, those discussions cannot take place unless the IHI is involved. So no deals can be done, no discussions can go on without the IHI being informed and being a party to it. That's the intention of issuing a copy of the letter to the High Court. That's the purpose of it.
So the effect of putting that letter...
It's not to enact a legal action.
Okay. So there are no... It's just a simple letter that's gone out then. Not to downplay the strength.
Well, I don't think the High Court would accept a letter like that on a matter which is of national importance as a simple letter.
Well, this is what I'm trying to make the connection.
It's a letter of significance.
Yeah.
It's a letter which states to a government that it must now listen to the industry that it's created.
Does the mere issuance of that letter automatically involve you in this debate in the circle? Does it automatically do that by just mere issuance of the letter? Or is there actual legal... What I'm trying to find out is, is there a legal meaning to this letter?
Oh, there certainly is a legal meaning, and it has a legal status, yes. In terms of where it will lead... Well, we have to leave it out, first of all, for the minister to answer. The minister may come back at 9 o'clock on Monday morning and say, can you come down to number 10 Downing Street, please, because we'd like to have a chat with you. We'll wait and see. As far as the court is concerned, they will be given a copy of that letter. And it may sound bland, but they will note the contents of that letter. But it's the contents of the letter and the effect that it will have on the situation that the court will note, and it will already know the precedents that are already in existence for that. So it has legal status, yes.
Okay. So this is not costing you a lot of money, if any. But what if they do appeal? Where does the fund start then or end?
Well, who appeals?
I don't know. Say Ricks take exception to someone.
Well, I'm sure they might do. I'm sure the RICS are going to want to know the contents of our letter to the minister, we'll see where that takes. But the RICS are fighting their own case. I doubt the RICS actually want to fight a case against us because we're not fighting the RICS.
But you might
so
be.
So I wouldn't want action.
But you are threatening if you're encroaching into their territory, aren't you? Whereas before it was just.
No. We're not encroaching into their territory. The governments have created this new industry. They've created the whole industry for home inspection, for home inspectors, and for domestic energy assessors. That's the industry we're talking about.
I understand.
So
that.
We're not doing any encroachments at all.
I understand that and the ideals of the situation that you're getting into. But, I mean, let's say Ricks might be rather possessive of this, of maintaining their grip on this particular judicial review, the stay they've got. And if they...
Well, that will be a matter for the courts. It's not a matter for the RICS to tell the courts or the government.
But what if they object in the form of an appeal?
Well, first of all, they have to have something to appeal against. So I don't know. I don't see the grounds on what they've got to appeal against, because there has to be a judgment. They can only appeal against the judgment. They can't appeal against the Institute of Home Inspectors serving a copy of a letter onto the court, because there is a legal precedent for it. So the RCS would have to go all the way through, Court of Appeal on that point of law, which is totally off the point. I don't think the RCS are going to do that. The RCS can't appeal against the IHI. It has no grounds.
It might. This is pure speculation, and I don't suggest that they would do this. But commerce being what it is, they might just do it just to shut you up and keep your mind occupied elsewhere whilst they get onto other things. It's a tactic,
but then they'd be taking on the government, and they can only take the, all they can do. And this is really getting away from the issue, because this action is not against the RICS. We don't support what the RICS have done, and this measure is not to support the RICS.
Well, that's my point, man. I'm just
the RICS may have the case, and that's for them to put to the court, and it's for the court to decide the value of that case. The court, which you now have to be involved, though. We have to be informed.
Yeah,
yes,
and that's
the purpose of doing.
And as you're pro-HIP, they're not. Then that's the conflict that I'm trying to find out how it could cause friction. That's all. I mean, I may be talking out my backside.
The first thing would be for the RICS to carry on with their complaint to the court, and for the court to make a judgment. But in light of the fact that we'll issue the papers to the court, we would hope that the court will take that into consideration, and the precedent is there for us to be noticed as with a third party interest, and so therefore the court will inform and include us.
So the argument
isn't between the IHI and the RICS. It's up for the courts to decide, if the RICS were to continue with their action, what judgment they will come to. The courts may throw out the arguments, or any argument that the RICS may come up with in the future. It'll be for the RICS to appeal against that, not against the fact that the IHI have joined in, or may join in, as a third-party interest.
I had someone PM me a question earlier. I don't know if you've followed your statement today. I wouldn't blame you if you hadn't. Just a question, that was there any... Do you see any reason why you shouldn't have, or did you consider notifying or alerting possible other groups that might have wanted to join force with you on this, such as NARI and IDEA?
Other groups have perhaps a slightly different constitution than we have. We are a community interest company registered and recognised as a professional institution. Other groups have a different constitution and a different company status, and therefore, whilst we can have discussions with them, and we do welcome discussions, and we have actually a series of discussions arranged, and also a number of those organisations were aware a few days ago about this action that we would take. It's really up to them if they are seeking to undertake whatever action that they want to take, but they have to take action conversant with the type of organisation that they are. We are a CIC, and therefore have an additional responsibility to the community at large.
Would you be open to the idea of them joining forces with you, just for the record?
Certainly. For the record, yeah, I've said it's time for all the factions, to stop arguing, particularly within the HI/DA forums, and we need to work collectively, you know, together. You know, we've seen Linda Gray come over to the IHI, within recent weeks. The IHI have launched today free EPC T&Cs for its members. The department have asked the IHI to produce a code of conduct that the consumer can use and refer to. That's being published on the website today. So there's a whole series of things that we've done, and there's a whole series of things that we've got planned for the future. And we quite openly will say that we welcome chartered surveyors, we welcome building surveyors, solicitors, estate agents, anybody basically who wants to make a valuable contribution to and with the IHI.
Okay. I think that's about wraps it up. I said it would be a short one. I think it's running to about 40 minutes already, doesn't it always?
All right.
I'd just like to add to the forum issue and just put out a plea to everybody on all sides. And let's face it, there are only a few of you out there, probably no more than 6 or 7 people, who are just making a holy show of what are really petty little differences being blown up into these big warring factions. And just think of it like this. By the time anyone, if anybody, actually gets to a point where they prove the other party wrong, you're 5 pages into a thread. That's like 50 posts. There could be anything up to 1,000 people that read that. If you look on the views, you'll see. And granted, some of those will be repeat viewers, but a lot of them are not. And by the time you've trudged through 5 pages of mudslinging to eventually get to a point where the argument has been won, do you think at that point it really matters? When you've just witnessed carnage and collateral damage on the way there? Now, come on, it is time to just get sensible. If there are only 6 or 7 people doing this and there are 1,000 people watching it, then any members that you get by page 5, I can assure you, you've probably lost 5 on the way. This is the way to look at it. It's not grown up, and it's certainly not professional. And that is me speaking off my own bat. I can do that because I'm impartial on this, and I'm speaking from an outsider looking in. So let's just get on. Go on, Shane, sorry.
Well, I'm speaking as the chair of the IHI, Mike, and I'd fully endorse that. The time has now come, and I'm pleased to say the IHI are moving forward, and we do have meetings set up, formal meetings set up with a number of groups, and we will be taking things forward way beyond EPC and HCR. So it's watch this space, because the IHI have arrived and they're going places.
Right then, folks. Thanks, Shane. I'm just going to have a cold shower now. I got quite worked up there. thanks for coming on. Pleasure to speak to you. And
okay, Mike.
Hopefully that's put some minds at rest, or at least it puts a... I'm sure it adds an extra dimension when people can actually hear you say this and answer some of the questions naturally.
I'm sure it does. But I'd endorse what you'd say. It's time for us all now to start working towards a common goal.
And with that, people... And don't forget, we've got another podcast marking August the 1st. We hope that should go up online on the eve of August the 1st. I want more messages. The response from the particular community has not been especially gratifying, I have to say. I've had more, I think I've got more responses from industry at large than you lot. So come on, let's get together, put some messages on. And if you've got a business name attached to it or a website, I can pimp that at the same time. So it's all good. Let me know. Email podcast@energyperformancecertificates.org, and remember that Energy Performance Certificates is hyphenated, or just PM me, you know where. Thanks, everybody. Speak to you soon. Say goodbye, Shane.
Goodbye.